Proverbs chapter number 30. Proverbs 30. Proverbs chapter number 30. And I want to read some things here. Proverbs chapter number 30, and I want you to look, if you would, down in verse number 29. Proverbs 30, verse number 29. There be three things which go well. Ain't that the truth? Very few things go well. Anyway, that's out of context. There be three things which go well, yea, four are comely in going. A lion, which is strongest among beasts, and turneth not away for any. A greyhound, and he goat also, and a king against whom there is no rising up. I want to look at those three verses tonight, verse 29, 30, and 31. And within these three verses, the writer mentions four things. He mentions a lion, excuse me, and mentions in verse 31 a greyhound, a he-goat, and a king. And I want to talk to you about admirable things. In verse number 29, notice what the writer says. He says, there be three things which go well. Go well. What does he mean, go well? And then he says, four are comely in going. What does he mean, there be three things which go well and four that are comely in going? Well, he's talking about where he says go well. He's talking about there are some things that are orderly and things that are composed in their going. And where he says comely, comely means beautiful, lovely. It means in step or majestic even. And so with those two definitions together, he says in verse number 29, there be three things which go orderly or composed. And then he says, four are beautiful and lovely. And so basically what he's saying is, I'm getting ready to share with you some things that are admirable. They're admirable in the way that they operate. Admirable in the order that they're in. They're admirable in how they're composed and how they operate and how they execute themselves daily. And he uses four things. He uses a lion. He uses a greyhound. He uses a he-goat. And then, which is not part of the animal kingdom, a man, a person, a king. Now, it was probably about 2 years ago where I preached from verse number 24 through verse number 28 on counsel from God's critters. And we talked about the ants and the conies and the locust and the spider and how those things actually preach to us, how the ants do. They store up in summertime for winter. The conies, they have their safety in the rocks. The locusts, how, although they have no king, they band together, picture of unity. And the spider, although it's not wanted, it casts forth its web again and goes back into its position. Solomon uses various things to counsel God's people. And I want to say that when it comes to insects and animals, there is wise counsel in those areas. I've said it before, me and Brother Jeff has actually, we've talked about it several times, about loving documentaries and how that we both like, you know, the Animal Channel and, you know, things like that. And it's true. I love documentaries. I love the Animal Channel. I love learning about, in fact, as of late, I've been watching in some spare time when I find it, the wonders of animals and insects and behaviors they have. I seen an episode of one show where there's a skunk that it does a handstand, and it walks on his hands, and his tail falls over, and it just bounces when it walks. You know, all kinds of silly things, and it's amazing. But could there be something to all that? I believe there is something to all that. And Solomon used things. But tonight I want us to focus in on verse 29, 30, and 31. And just trying to look so admirable about the lion. How can the lion benefit us tonight and encourage us? Also the greyhound. And how could that greyhound benefit us and encourage us? What's so admirable about the he-goat and a king? Well, I want to do my best to try to mention these things tonight. We'll be through. Number one, let's look at the lion in verse number 30. We'll look at verse 29 and then 30. He says, there be three things which go well, orderly, composed. Four are beautiful and lovely. Verse 30, a lion which is strongest among beasts and turneth not away from any. So what is it about a lion that can encourage us tonight? Well, he says in verse number 30, a lion which is strongest among beasts. And so a lion is strong. A lion is strong. And another trait, or actually it's been seen of lions, how they can just, or they basically, they walk slow. Left foot or left paw or right paw, left, right, and they're shoulder blades arch up real high in the back, and they're confident when they walk. They know they possess the ability to overcome if they have to. They're strong animals. A lion has its strength, and they walk slowly, step by step. But notice something else about the lion. He says, a lion which is strongest among beasts, he walks confidently, step by step, knowing he has the strength to overcome, and turneth not away from any. Now this has to do with another trait, not only strength, but courage. So this is strength and courage combined together. And so here's the king of the jungle, the Lion King. And he's walking through the jungle like this, and there's things going over his head. He's not worried about it. Because he's a lion, right? He has strength and he has courage. And there's snakes going across the path, and he'll stop and stare. He's not worried about it. He may even just put one paw and smash the snake. There's bigger beasts in the forest that come through. He's not worried about it, you know. But if he has to, he can pounce on a prey in a heartbeat. If he has to, if he's provoked, if he has to, if he has been rushed from behind, this lion can use its strength and courage to overcome. Now, what we can, and that's admirable. That's very admirable. Because we as God's children also have that same ability. Many people, their favorite verse, or at least one of their favorite verses in the Old Testament, is Joshua 1:9. And I love Joshua 1:9. Listen to this. Joshua 1:9 says, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Joshua 1:9. And wrapped up in that verse is strength and courage altogether. And we know that's speaking to Joshua, through Joshua, for his army. We know Moses had died and Joshua is now the leader. And so God is pumping in strength and courage and promises and ability. And Joshua, in return, is pumping that into his men. And tonight, we can possess that. We have promises after promises, New Testament versus Old Testament, all in one together. We have the ability to overcome. And we know that the Bible says in Philippians, that greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. We know that. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Or rather, Philippians speaks of, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. In 1 John 4:4, greater is he that's in the world than, speaking of the enemy there. We have overcome the enemy by Jesus, in other words. And so tonight we can, as this lion, we can glean from this lion. We can see how orderly and composed this lion is, and in his solidarity and his confidence, slowly walking through the jungle. And there's a jungle of life that we're all living in. And the enemy's here and our flesh is here, but we don't have to live under our privileges. God, we can live above our circumstances. We can live and we can operate out of strength and out of courage, and we don't have to live with fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And so we have in these 1:9, 1:7, and even these traits out of this line, we have strength and courage. And that's very admirable tonight. So he says in verse number 30, "A lion which is strongest among beasts, and turneth not away from any." I failed to mention back in Joshua, not only is that mentioned in verse number 9 about strength and courage, but four other places in chapter 1 is mentioned about strength. And so we can glean from the lion tonight his strength, his courage, and it's very admirable and comparable to the life of the Christian. Now, let's go on to the second one. He says in verse number 30, "A lion which is strongest among beasts and turneth not away from any." But in verse number 31, he says, "A greyhound." But he doesn't mention anything. And I got to thinking, well, thanks a lot. You know? But then I got to mention, well, come on now, this is the Word of God. It's perfect. It's complete. There's something here. And so I got to reading around different authors, what they had to say and all. Well, the word greyhound in its entirety actually means, it means one with loins girded. Ones with loins girded. And it actually speaks of the small of the back or the waist. It speaks of strength. It gives reference to maybe a horse. Of course, here it says greyhound. We think of the dog, so there's reference to greyhound, there's reference to horse. Also, there's reference to a rooster, greyhound. And rooster is because it has strength that's coming from within and lowly parts. And so what is it about the greyhound? Well, nothing other than he mentions a greyhound. And but the word greyhound, again, it has reference to do with a type of animal, maybe horse, maybe even zebra. But it has to do with one with loins girded, maybe a war horse. And so I got to thinking about these animals, and I got to thinking about how horses have saddles and how you sit on the saddles, and those horses, they run, they gallop. A war horse goes to war. There's a red comes to these greyhounds. There's a ability to take off and go. There's an ability to go into war. And also, I got to thinking about a couple of different verses. Hold your place here in Proverbs. Turn to Ephesians chapter number 6, if you would. Ephesians 6. Notice verse number 14. And Paul says, "Stand therefore," in Ephesians 6:14. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." There's a connection between what Paul said in Ephesians 6:14 and what Solomon says in Proverbs 30 in verse number 31 about the greyhound. If the greyhound is referenced to the loins being girded and the loins being strengthened and ready, and an animal that can gallop and take off right to battle, a horse, a zebra, then that can definitely be read with Ephesians 6:14. "Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth." And all this does is give us a picture of the Christian warrior being ready for battle. having our loins girt about with truth. Listen, we've got to know what we believe, but also we got to know why we believe what we believe. Because the attacks of the devil are real. All kinds of darts he throws out there. Oh, you're not really saved. How do you know you're saved? Or God's not going to come through for you. You know, he came through for them. He came through for them, but he's not going to come through for you. Got to have our loins girt about with truth. Got to be in the Word of God. Got to saturate our minds with God's Word and then get it down in our hearts so that when those times come, when we're facing an attack from the enemy, have the Word and refute, tear down what the devil's trying to say. And we're talking the other day, and she was saying something. She said, "Dad, is this so?" A little girl at school said this, you know, was about church and God. I said, "No, honey, that's not so. That's exactly what the devil said." I said, "But what you got to do is you have to find a verse that totally counters that verse. That just and the term I get from Bible school is refute." You know, that opposes it, that counters it, that proves it's not right. And so we worked on that, and I showed her, and she was excited about it. But listen, that's exactly what we have to do tonight. Whatever you may be dealing with that is pulling you down, weighing you down, that is creating worry and fear, you have to do is counter that with truth. Find something. Find you a scripture that proves that is just a lie from the devil. Or it's something that we need to work on in our life to get stronger so we won't deal with it as much in such a negative way. So it says to stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And he goes on and on and on about these other pieces of armory. But notice in, turn to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1. Peter says something about having the loins girded as well. 1 Peter 1:13. Peter says in 1 Peter 1:13, "Wherefore," notice this, "gird up the loins of your mind." You see, sometimes our minds can unravel and living in the world we're living in and dealing with the flesh we're living in. And these things, sometimes our minds can unravel and get the best of us, and we can believe a lie and see one thing, but the truth be something totally different. So Peter says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, strengthen your mind, clear your mind." He says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." He goes on down and he mentions some things that can help support girding up the loins of your mind. Verse 14, "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." And so one way to gird up the loins of my mind is holiness. One way to gird up the loins of my mind is holiness. Get in God's Word and go after His holiness. Romans speaks of not yielding yourselves as instruments of unrighteousness, but instruments of righteousness. And as we do that, the Holy Spirit will fill us more and more. And you'll find out that you have won the war over your mind for that moment after doing this. And so back to the greyhound. In Proverbs 30, 31. And this is an admirable thing. This is a beautiful thing. This is an thing. As you see a greyhound, or as you see a horse and its saddle and its strength and its the small of its back, how it has those inward strengths there in the surrounding areas, how it just it gallops and it goes. As far as the greyhound itself, going to Florida, we passed the greyhound track, dog racing track. And the dogs weren't racing out there, but it looked exciting. You know, I've seen great greyhounds before, and they truly have small waist, and they're really strong, and they have they're tall dogs. And buddy, they can run. They can get after it. And that's what God wants from us. That's what He wants us to be able to do, is get after it, to go after it, be strengthened by power of the inner man, having our loins girded about with truth. As Peter says, gird up the loins of our mind. And so we can definitely be encouraged off of the greyhound. And again, the greyhound means one with loins girded, strength in its loins. There's another animal. Let's look at the third thing in verse 31. In verse number 31, we find the he-goat. The he-goat. And nothing's mentioned about the he-goat as well, other than a few things that I've gathered today in a couple verses I want to read to you. The he-goat is the long-bearded animal, only a couple, 3 feet from the ground, that walks very carefully, confidently, and gravely, going before a flock, ready to fight for them, conducting himself with courage and resolution. Now listen to Jeremiah 50, verse number 8. Jeremiah says, "Remove out of the midst of Babylon, forth out of the land of the Chaldeans, the he-goats, or be as the he-goat, and be as the he-goats before flocks." I don't know all there is to know about he-goats or she-goats or any goats. All I know is this, is that this he-goat, I mean, I've seen a he-goat with a long before. In fact, there's a small farm near here where there's animals out in the field, and there's a little goat out there, little horns and, you know, a little beard or a little, yeah, yes. Absolutely. Thank you, Miss Lynn. They're sure-footed and short-footed. But listen, these he-goats, they go in front of the pack. They go slowly, but they're confident. And they're ready to attack any enemy that approaches the flock. And again, Jeremiah 50, verse 8, "Remove out of the midst of Babylon and go forth out of the land of the Chaldeans, and be as the he-goats before the flock." Get out there and protect the flock. There's reference to pastor. And he's saying, pastors are to walk carefully. They're to walk slowly, taking care of with courage and resolution. But it doesn't just stop at pastors, just for any Christians. The same way, it's a call to be a pattern before other believers. Walking confidently, walking courageously, being willing to be that prayer partner, in the gap and praying for them, you know, things along those lines. But we all are to be an example setters before all. Pastors are to guide and direct. But this is definitely comely and admirable, the he-goat is. It's like a little general stepping in front of the flock, protecting the flock. And then I want to finish tonight with the king here in verse number 31. If you notice in verse 31, writer says, "A greyhound and he-goat also, and a king against whom there is no rising up." And just on the surface, face value, reading that, what a blessing that is. When a leader can be a leader, long-arming coming up from the crowd, there's no rising up. It's the king, it's the leader. This leader is not resisted, is not opposed, is not withstood. There's the king and his people have hearts and hands for a president. I can't say there's arms against our president, because there is. There's all kinds of people rising up against him. To have his people, you know, I'm for our president. I mean, you know, I'm and so, but then we go on a more of a local level, you know, in our community, and I by no mean am a king, but I'm the leader, and I want to say this, and I know with all my heart that your hearts and hands are with me on this. And I appreciate that. And but again, it doesn't just stop here. It goes to individuals being able to work with others and being able to be approachable with the hands and hearts of your friends is a very admirable thing. I'll tell you something that's not admirable is by having a leader, a king, an individual who is trying to dictate and strong arm and can't approach that person because you may, you know, you may get your head chewed off or something or another. That's not admirable. That's not a pleasurous thing to behold. These things, after he mentions the insects, he says in verse 29, "And there be three things which go well, yea, four are comely in going, a lion which is strongest among beasts and turneth not away from any, a greyhound and he goat also, and a king against whom there is no rising up." And we'll stop there in verse number 31, and we may, I don't know, there's some other animals. If you back up in verse number 18 and 19, and the serpent and the sheep. We have a few minutes. Maybe someone has something they want to say or add to the lesson. Mention. Admirable things, admirable things. You really don't have to look far for encouragement.
I just think of maybe years ago it wasn't a greyhound as we know it, but they just named the greyhound because of what you're saying about
it. Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you for that, Brother Ed. You're right, you're right. That's their way of categorizing and naming things. It's gray. Thank you, Brother Ed. Anybody else?
Your mind says a strutting rooster does
say. Strutting rooster? See? I mean, and you know, I don't know, there's several places in God's Word you come across that are kind of detailed, but if you look at it hard enough and long enough, you'll find that there's something that most people agree on as to what it's talking about. So we appreciate the feedback. Anybody else? Don't hold back. You feel something, say something. As long as it ain't mean. I'm talking to the wrong bunch, y'all ain't. All right.
Okay.
You're very welcome. Yep. Well, good to have you in here, part of the class tonight. All right.
It's about the Bible three times, and many times I guess I read through it, and I don't really understand what's going on. But you preach the three verses in a half an hour, you can really see what's going on, what the Bible's saying.
Amen. Amen. That's the objective. Thank you, Brother Ed. I know I've done my job. And it don't take a lot. One or two verses, three maybe. Sometimes, like Sunday night, it was all of chapter 9 out of 1 Samuel. But those are selective times. And anybody else?
I read the Bible through, but did they study it?
Yeah. That's another thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you can go in this Bible all your life and you'll see something different from the same book that you read.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Check the feedback. Anybody else? Look. I know you are. And let's just pray for God to continue His work. And again, look at some more things concerning, you know, our church and service and different things. Church year or will be September. And you know, some things and lean in a bit more heavier this Sunday. So, all hearts cleared. Last chance. Okay. Brother Joe, would you close this out, brother? Yes, Lord. Amen. All right. Class is dismissed.